for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, September the 1st, 2000. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is tape one of two tapes of the Saturday evening service with Chuck Flynn of Orange, California. And Marianne, when he used to work at an aircraft plant, and then come over on Friday nights to our house and teach at a Bible study we had at our house in California. And he's the very first minister who ever taught here at this campground when we came here. He was the teacher for the speaker for our first camp meeting. And we appreciate Chuck. And Marianne has been here, and I've asked Marianne to come back for the ladies' meeting this February. I've had many requests for that, and I've already asked her, and I think she's got her calendar straightened out for that. So to you who don't know Chuck, you will appreciate the ministry the Lord's given him, and you will learn, get your Bible ready, get your pencil and paper ready, and use it. Blessings to you, Chuck.
Yes, so God is good. Also, notice these books. They're from Annie's Visions. Annie is a good friend of ours. And Annie and Ken Sisler, God blessed her. I think on the back it said she was an Argentine actress. Got tremendously, a cousin just wanted to go to this service. And she got delivered wonderfully. And that testimony in itself is good. But then she thought it was just the average Christian life to intercede. If you want to know what the Bible says about praying through, then get these two books of Annie's Visions. She actually, what it means is Annie's prayer life. That's the way I call it. It just blessed Marianne so much. My wife was so blessed by these tremendous challenges in prayer and how the Lord revealed himself and the beauty of it. I thought it was graceful. And this is one just that I was looking at tonight. Lifting me out in prayer, lifting me out of myself and into the lighted world of revelation, the Lord of all knowledge showed me his own ones to whom he had given light, revelation, anointing, and his presence. However, in order for them to go forth in the power and purpose of their Lord, there was still one more thing lacking. It was vitality. It was vitally necessary for them to come into the reasonings and thinkings of valor and courage, into the large and valiant thoughts of their God, and on. I believe that would be a blessing to you. For as yet they still had the reasonings of defeat, fear, and smallness, and so forth. And then it's beautiful how God reveals himself to us. I would like to begin tonight with the teaching on the progress of glory. The progress of glory. Let's begin with 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. And what I like is for you to keep your Bibles handy, because we'll be going back and forth in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and the New. And so we thank God for his Word. Father, we appreciate the intelligence of glory. We loose my brother, loose my sister into the eternal wisdom of the Father God through our Lord Jesus Christ by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Word to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. The 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In this third chapter, we have one of the great, as I like to call it, our brother John gave me a prophecy this morning. He used a term that I knew that it was really the Lord speaking to me, the crescendo of His presence. This is one of the crescendos of God's glory. And it came upon a leader, the one that brought Israel out of Egypt, or the man. God brought them out, but Moses. So, in the third chapter, Paul the Apostle, who has been taught over 2 years in the Arabian desert, and after the Damascus great vision of the Lord, Paul was taught some of these tremendous eternal truths. And so, the Apostle Paul is saying that the glory that was given to Moses on his countenance, now that glory, it was glorious, and the children of Israel in verse 7, they could not stand steadfastly, behold the face of Moses, I'm in 2 Corinthians 3:7, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now, in the Hebrew, the word is K-A-R-A-N, Karan. This glory manifested itself not in a halo, but in not in an aura, a glow. The glory was, it is the Karan, the Hebrew word for lightning bolt or shaft of glory shooting forth from Moses' countenance. It was, in the modern day, we could call it laser beam. And so that's why the Israelites were uncomfortable. The shafts of glory, which was the manifestation of the Father, the great horizons, and the sunbeams of a new day. That's the glory of God spiritually in our life. And when you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, verse 11 says, we got the glory that excelleth. That just floors my mental apprehension that God gives us a greater glory than Moses had. We have the glory that excels. So it's a progress of glory moving in our lives. And so these shafts, someone is going to be healed. Someone is saved. The anointing's upon you when you shop. God wants you to have all command over all your creation. Anything you have to do with is going to prosper and be in health. Because when you speak in tongues, that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost in our life. It brings everything in order. Hallelujah. Sets a captive free. Even in the night season. Talking to someone tonight, in the night season, you're going to have the counsel of the Lord. Marianne and I, when we go to sleep at night, we say, Father, we bring our spirit under the commands, under subjection to the Holy Ghost. Because our spirit is not going to be just dormant and be available for guerrilla warfare of demonic power. I looked up the word nightmare in the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's spelled the old English way, M-A-E-R. Nightmare, and it is the word for elf. Nightmare is satanic invasion in your life. And you, with the blood covenant, you just bring your spirit under subjection to the Holy Ghost, and then during the night season, Psalm 16, verse 7, you'll bring your spirit under subjection So your reins are ordered of the Lord. That means your thought life. Psalm 16, verse 7 says that you will have the counsel of the Lord during the night season. When I'm traveling or Marianne's traveling, as we are faced with decisions and things of ministry and all types of situations that produce helpful lives and peace, thank God, the Lord teaches us both in the night season. His counsel. Amen. Put your hand on your children, your grandchildren, and release them into the counsel of the Lord during the night. Pray in tongues. They'll stop all this nightmares and all types of disturbances in the name of Jesus. Take command. Hallelujah. Children of the day with authority over the night. Amen. Hallelujah. So these are shafts. These are great shafts of glory. Now, the Hebrew is also confirmed in the fourth chapter of Malachi. In Malachi 4, it says, the sun, S-U-N, meaning Jesus, arises with healing in his wings, is the same word, Quran, and it means glory beams. Amen. Healing in his glory beams. We loose the glory beams in your life. The anointing, it supersedes the gifts. Some say, well, I have the gift of healing. That's fine. Praise the Lord. No, you have the glory. You've released yourself to the glory. Hallelujah. And the anointing of the glory and the authority of it, you release it unto the Father. But any divine ability, you must know how to give the gift back to the Father. One of the most lonely times of ministry that the Lord taught me in my life was when you prophesy over people. Benson Idahos and his wife were healed and they had children. David Ingalls was just a country and western disc jockey, the radio station. And by prophecy, hallelujah, God gave him the gift of writing music. Just on and on, people were healed and set free. But now what's my responsibility? Is the first time I can be alone with the Lord, I give the gift back to him. I say, Father, in Jesus' name, let there be issue. Let there be what I've spoken. God, in Jesus' name, bring it to pass. As I felt the unction of the Holy Ghost, it's not for me just to leave it alone. It's for me to intercede and give it back to the Father. It's in your hands now. See, that's what Elijah did. He said, I hear a sound. Heard you say that, Ronnie. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. And so he went up, but before he went up, he said to the servant, tell Ahab, the king, get a submarine sandwich and head toward Jezreel. Because it's going to rain. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. What did he do? After he prophesied it, he went up to the knoll of Mount Carmel and put his head in his hands between his knees. Pulled his knees up, that's the ancient position of birthing, and he began to pray. And he says, oh God, send the rain. Send the rain. Father, send the rain. The servant came up and said, well, come on, let's go. He said, is there any change? No. Six, five, six, seven times. Father, send the rain. What's he doing? He was interceding and giving the gift of the prophetic unction. I hear a sound of abundance of rain, but I am giving it back to you, Father. And when the cloud the size of a man's hand, which speaks of the fivefold ministry, will always bring the rain. Hallelujah. That's the anointing, that's the glory. So let us learn. When God uses us, let it be given to the Lord. Amen? As we speak a word, as people are healed and set free, find your place on Mount Carmel. Amen. Because, see, that's why it's in the birthing of John the Baptist. The angel Gabriel said, this child will have the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now, we know what the power of Elijah is. That's the glory of the fire. And that's why John the Baptist preached the Holy Ghost and fire. But what's the spirit of Elijah? Know how to give the gifts. Know how to bless the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for that which you've done and that's what you're doing with me. I give it back to you. I thank you, Lord. And you intercede. After you've said something, spoken it, or preached it, or testified it, give it back to the Father. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. So now we come to this. We have the glory. Underline it in verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. So the glory we have is the glory that excels. In verse 9, he calls it the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we have this administration. Now, the offense of hell is to veil. If satanic power and luciferic, that which Lucifer concocts in demonic religion, if they can veil the glory, be religious enough to just veil it. So therefore in verse 18 it says, don't let anybody veil your face with unveiled face. Don't let it, as Moses allowed them to veil his face. Now we're in a new day. That's verse 18. But we all, underline it, we all, with open face, in other words, unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, glass or mirror, you want to straighten your life out? Get in the Word. That's your mirror, the glory of the Lord. Our changed is, write down the Greek word, meta, M-E-T-A, M-O-R-P-H-O-O, metamorpho, which is what? Transfigured, metamorphosis, but it's the same word that Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, Peter, James, and John. So we are transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the Greek word for glory goes a little further in definition. Write it down, please. Doxa. D-O-X-A. And that word means the honor of God placed on a good opinion on your lips of Him. When you start praising God, and the doxa of God, the glory, is that energizing force of having a good opinion of Him. You grow in grace and you come to a fresh plateau of the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is why the 10 lepers, when they asked Him to heal them, He said, go show yourself to the priest. With that command, each one of them left him, but each one was healed of their leprosy. Now one turns around and comes back. Why? It's because with every healing, with every blessing of God, comes a new revelation of Jesus in your life. And the revelation, when healing came upon their body, the revelation that I don't need a traditional high priest. There, He's the one. He's the high priest. And that's why the one came back. And that's why Jesus was disturbed and said, where are the other nine? I sent revelation, but tradition annulled it.
Come on.
Every church and congregation has revelation and deliverance. But they reject it by tradition. And the one who came back and praised him. And the leprosy takes fingers and toes, we know. An eye maybe in the cheek. But when that leper praised him, he said, thy faith has made thee. And the word whole is holokleria. It's a word that means restored as in the beginning, as Adam was created. In other words, his fingers were recreated before. And his toes shot out. Now, the others were healed, but they still had their traditional walk. But this man walked like any. He was healed, but restored. Everything that was taken from him was restored. That's what Joel said. Whatever you're robbed from, whatever the pommel worm and cake worm is taken, will be restored. Now, we have this tremendous authority of progression. Now let's go to the Old Testament, 28th chapter of Genesis. I have to move on now. In Genesis, we have dealing here a story of Jacob, 28th chapter of Genesis. Now let's look at Genesis and this tremendous story of Jacob's ladder. And so Jacob was going toward Haran. And he dreamed, let's look at verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. Salam is the Hebrew word, S-U-L-L-A-M. It means tiers of progress, tiers or plateaus of glory. In Romans 12:6. This is given as a example of all the fruits and gifts of the Spirit. We grow. And it says when you prophesy, prophesy according to the measure of your faith. Amen. Some people think, well, boy, if somebody's going to prophesy, it better be of God. I asked some students one day, I said, let's take a little review. In the fivefold ministry, how much percentage must they have of pure, unadulterated spiritual revelation? How much percentage? Start with the apostle. No? They said about 60%. You can still get, you know, by apostolic, your sense and your to begin works and everything, about 60%. The evangelist, it's about 15%. No kidding. 15%. He can tell a lot of tearjerkers and still get people saved. Teacher, well, you study and get into the hermeneutics and exegetical, theological, superlapsarianism. He can get by with 10% of just pure spiritual revelation. Pastor, he'll just get by. But the kids gave the pastor 5%. He can get by, you know, just knowing people, loving. I said, how about the prophet? The prophet must have 100%. That's right. People are very, it's all right to judge, but there is that 100%. I want you right on. Now, the Word gives us some lax there and flexibility according to your faith. But also it means we know them that minister among us. There's your progress. So now Jacob is seeing this ladder. And he dreamed, and behold, I'm at Genesis 28, verse 12. 28. and verse 12, "And behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord God above stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee," here's the covenant, "in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." It was also stated this morning, that's in Genesis 12, I believe it's verse 3. Genesis 12:3. That promise was given to Abraham. You're going to bless all the families of the earth. This is the progress. Then Jacob, in verse 20 and 21, he says, I'll come again to my father's house. And he said, I've set up this stone, and the pillar shall be God's house, Bethel. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob knew there was a tithe, there was a giving. And so he said, I want to serve you now and be blessed, but also bless you. And so this was the covenant, that all the families of the earth be blessed. Now let's go to what I call the contamination of the covenant. 31, please. The 31st chapter of Genesis. Now we see that here Abraham's seed, which we're talking about the Jewish race now, the ethnic race, without being an anti-Semitic, that's not, we're giving a biblical principle that was fulfilled in the church. The same process of satanic delusion. And so this covenant that was so strong on Jacob was passed on. And now the reputation of the Jewish race is anything but a blessing to the Gentiles and the families of the world. There's 11 nations, 11 families that own the rule of the world. This is quite obvious. That's what they tell us. The reason I bring this up is that I will teach tonight by the anointing of the Spirit that this covenant was contaminated. And also the covenant of Acts and the Great Commission has been contaminated. So let's look at this one. Those that should have been a blessing are the leeches of the world. I say that respectfully. Only in the truth of God's Word that something happened, and that's to alarm us, that these ethical seed of Abraham was to be a great blessing. Then God had to bring forth His Son. And now we are the seed of Abraham. And the contamination had already begun after the day of Pentecost. Let's look at Jacob leaves. He goes to Haran. And now his testimony is in the 31st chapter of Genesis, verse 41. Thus have I been, he's talking to Laban, his father-in-law. Are you there?
Yeah.
Genesis 31. Let's see. He said, why are you pursuing after me? Let's start with verse 38, please. Verse 38. Underline this 20 years. Have I been with thee? Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. Verse 39, that which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Now this is the attitude that will bless the families of the earth. Here's the concepts of Jacob. And of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Verse 41, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed, underline it, my wages 10 times. And it sure that wasn't a bonus. A decrease. Laban, rip-off artist. The type of that we want to crush and keep people under them and would not let Jacob prosper.
Yeah.
And Jacob had a talk with the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And God told him, take a speckle. Take a speckle rod. When the ewes conceive, everything speckled be yours. God has a way to prosper us. Amen. We're not going to be under anybody's foot. Amen. And so this, though, is what he's testifying to Laban. You ripped me off for you changed my wages 10 times. And except, verse 42, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, underline it, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. You were on your way to wipe me out, taking my wives and children and all that I have. You would have left me empty. That's the type of spirit that's going to contaminate the covenant. So you get that in your mind. Now let's go down to where the covenant is contaminated. Let's start with verse 51. It's really verse 53 I'd like to have you underline. But verse 51, and Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which was stones, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. Now, this is Laban talking now. Here's the contamination of the covenant. And Laban begins, and I was reading this. I've never read this. I've never heard it. But the Holy Ghost revealed it. My wife and I have agreed. God revealed the word to us. Put your right hand on your forehead. I loose my brother. I release my sister with a greater revelation of thy word in Jesus' name. Seal us as you sealed Ezekiel. And in Ephesians 1:13, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Ghost has been promised that he will guide us into all truth and show us things to come. Amen, amen. 53. Genesis 31:53. Now Laban is doing this. And I was reading it one day in the God of Abraham. See, I've already read that several times. Jacob spoke it. But this first time Laban, it's recorded that he spoke it. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the Holy Ghost came on me. And I said out loud, the God of Nahor, who interjected that? I've never heard that before. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. So here we have, they're mixing now the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of their father. Now, write down Joshua 24:2. And Nahor, that's why God said, leave thy father's house to Abraham. Get out of this place, because they're idolaters. And Laban is putting that idolatry, that rip-off artist, that great con man, Costa Nostras, whatever, all shysters. It's a sad thing, but he put it in the covenant. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, Terah was their father, and in Joshua it says they were idolaters. Joshua 24:2. The God of their father, it's Joshua. Joshua 24:2, yeah. You think I meant judges, or did I say judges? And Jacob swore by the fear of his father, Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount. In other words, Jacob had the right attitude, and you think, well, that's up to Jacob. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Jacob made, under a great fear of Laban, who had treated him so bad, he wanted to make a covenant. And Laban put within the offspring of idolatry. Don't forget, Rachel set on the idols. Yeah. That the contamination of covenant is Laban brought all of his raunchiness, and his sons were even in on it, if you want to study it. I'm trying to just get the highlights. But he put it into Jacob's covenant. And so he mixed in Nahor and Terah. Heathen worship. Yeah. And that's why God was continually, from here on, having to deal with Israel. And that's why they stoned Stephen. Stephen said, Moloch, Chemosh? And these same devils that you have thrown your children to fire. And Moses warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Do not be like the other nations. It was mixed in and contaminated the covenant of Abraham. That you're going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And it was quenched. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 14, please. Oh, we stay in here for a week. Jeremiah 14. But I like to know why there's certain things that what happened here. And boy, that's plain to me. And then you have Jeremiah comes along, and now he's dealing with it had infected the prophets. So the Nabai, the prophets. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false, would you underline a false vision? And divination. And a thing of naught. And the deceit of their heart. That's 14. Jeremiah 14:14. And there's others, you know, but these are the main ones. Now write down, now this is the way I study the Bible. Write down by Jeremiah 14, Galatians 3, verse 1. Galatians 3, verse 1. And so here it is, they prophesy unto you a false vision. And here comes the Apostle Paul, thousands of years later, a couple thousand or maybe a 1,500. Here comes the Apostle Paul. And he says, oh, thou foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you would leave the truth and go back into. He didn't say prophets in those days, because the prophets now are the ones that are teaching what the mind of God is for the people. But now they're false prophets. It's not knowingly and predictive. That's why the evangelicals today, they will use Jesus' words. You prophesied in my name. You cast out devils. But depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And all evangelicals say, oh boy, that doesn't mean us. That means those Pentecostals. But no, it means everybody that has a contaminated covenant. This is the Bible's reason to call it prophets. It's those who are teaching the people that God said something and he didn't. Now write down by Galatians 3:1, put down 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3. The apostle says, my goodness, do I have to get almost crazy to tell you guys that what you're doing is against what God has given in his revelation to me? He says, as the serpent, and he brings it right in, as the serpent beguiled Eve. I'm quoting now from 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3. As a serpent, he says, I'm jealous over you. I'm trying to bring you in to as chaste virgins unto Christ. But as a serpent beguiled Eve, so you have been beguiled. For he that cometh is going to preach another Jesus. You'll receive another spirit and hear another gospel. Whew. There's your contaminated covenant. Tongues were only for the disciples. We don't need deliverance today. All of the contamination of the covenant, it even started when the Apostle Paul wanted a little recognition. And he was prophesied over in Acts 19, don't go to Jerusalem. He said, oh, don't make me weep. He said, well, I don't mind going to Jerusalem. I'll just give my life for everything. He said, for the Lord. I don't mind going. He told the Ephesian brethren, they cried, and some even prophesied, don't go to Jerusalem. He gets to Jerusalem in Acts 21, and James and the elders rob him of his multitude ministry. He's never going to have another multitude, never going to have an advanced group. He's going to be under the prison from then on. I believe Glenn and I have talked this over. It's one of the great tragedies of the Word. You'll never hardly hear it preached because it's against overseers that dominate the ministries under them. And Paul went there and, boy, they said, oh, Paul, boy, tell us about your ministry. And the Apostle Paul shared some miracles and things. And, oh, they said, that's wonderful, Paul, but we have a problem. There's a multitude going to come tomorrow. They've heard you're here. And they're going to come to hear you. And they've heard that you're against Moses. And you're against circumcision. Now, we'd like to have you do this. They'd like to have you get with these other four brethren, shave your head, pay their expenses. No wonder they're always in need at Jerusalem. Apostle Paul sent them offerings all the time, at least a lot. And here they were threatened. Their position was threatened because here revelation is coming to them. Don't do what your elders are telling you to do. You don't have to. We're circumcised in our heart. And then they had the gall to tell the Apostle Paul that when they see that you are obeying the law, they will know that what they've heard of you is naught or nothing. Galatians is nothing. Ephesians is nothing. What you've taught of Christ is nothing. And when the multitude, somebody said, well, where is Paul? Where is this guy that has such great revelation? Oh, he's that bald-headed guy over there with those other bald heads. Oh, he's one of us. Oh. It ruined. The multitude never heard his testimony. And Brother Glenn was telling me it came on the seventh day of the Nazarite vow when they should have sacrificed the lamb. And it looks like Jesus just pulled himself away from him and the heathen come in and almost killed him. Jesus could not stand. Yeah. He could not stand to have his apostle sacrifice a lamb on the seventh day. And Luke mentions the seventh day. Read it clearly in Acts 21. And then the centurion came down and saved his life. And from then on, he's incarcerated and appeals unto Caesar. And that whoremonger Nero finally took his head. Oh, of course he witnessed. Of course he had a home there in Rome. I'm telling you, keep yourself in your own vision. It's all right to have fellowship, and it's all right if you're flowing in a unity and under a network. But don't allow your head to be shaken.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now we see that here, boy, my time is gone. We see, amen. Let's look at the 64th chapter of Psalms, please. Psalm 64. Now here God begins to take Israel unto himself. 64. I want you, many of you know this, but this is the Ark of the Covenant. I hope this is the one I want. I don't think it is. I believe, no, it's the 68th chapter. 68th chapter of Psalms. This is the psalm that was sung every spring at Passover, also with Psalms 118. This is a psalm where the Ark of the Covenant, David wrote this the day the Ark of the Covenant came up to Mount Zion. In verse 25, underline it, the singers went before, the players on instruments followed after, among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregation, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel, and so forth. This is what we call to the chief musician upon Shoshanim. Shoshanim. S-H-O-S-H-A-N-N-I-M. David called this to the chief musician of Shoshanim, and it means lilies. It's in the springtime. Means when the Ark of the Covenant is in its rightful place. That now they are carrying the worship, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, not on the heathen's cart, but now the priests are carrying the Ark. It's done God's way. Yeah. Now David moves the Ark out of the house of Obed-Edom that was prospering because of it. He begins to dance before the Lord. And this word dance in the Hebrew is the same word in Luke 10, verse 21, of Jesus rejoicing in spirit. David danced when the Ark of the Covenant came up the road to Mount Zion. Jesus danced, shouted, and spun around when he saw the disciples have power over the demons. And that brought it to pass what God had told him when he slew him as the lamb at the foundation of the world, the Father told him, you will destroy all the works of Lucifer. And when the disciples came back rejoicing, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name, he said, I beheld Satan fall. He said, I remember when the Father told me. And that's when Michael cast Lucifer out of heaven. That's why you have authority. And I'm rejoicing to see what the Father told me is true. You have power over the devil. Amen. It's beautiful. That connects us now. David danced, Jesus danced. Because now the order, the Ark of the Covenant is Jesus. John 19, chapter, it says, I believe that's the chapter, it says Mary Magdalene, everybody else left her, but Mary Magdalene stayed, and there was a light coming out of the tomb. She looked into the tomb. She saw, here is a harlot that was set free. Seven devils. God let her see one of the most beautiful. Abraham would have loved to have seen it. And of course, maybe in the spiritual. But here is a lady of the earth. She saw an angel at his head and one at his feet. So what did she see? She saw the literal Ark of the Covenant. For Jesus is the mercy seat.
Hallelujah.
You can look for the Ark anywhere you want to, but bless God, Jesus will reveal himself. He's the mercy seat. Those angels came down, put their wings over him. He come up out of that grave clothes. Up from the grave he arose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And Mary Magdalene saw it. And in the Amplified Version, it does bring out, Jesus is the mercy seat. Amen. Hallelujah. So now we have, and I want to look at Psalm 68 and verse 18. Start with verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them. As in Sinai, in the holy place. In other words, what David is saying, the same manifestation of God at Sinai was with us when we moved the ark to Zion. Now the tabernacle of David has been restored. And James, the Lord's half-brother in Acts 15, says the tabernacle, when he heard the miracles and great deliverances of Paul and Barnabas, and then he heard how the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles, James, the Lord's half-brother, Mary had four sons. She had at least three daughters. The number of Jesus is eight. He's the anointed one. So James said, this is the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Deliverance, miracles, divine signs following, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming on everybody. That's the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Now let's look at verse 18, please. Underline this. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Sounds like the New Testament. Write down Ephesians 4, 6 to 11. Ephesians 4, 6 to 11. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Let's go to John 1. I've got to hurry. I'm sticking with Jacob's ladder here. We're not going to be denied. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Philip goes and gets Nathanael. That's verse 45 of John chapter 1. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, and just as much of a revelation, they said, the son of Joseph. Not that all these boys knew Joseph, but all Israel knew that Joseph was the literal offspring of David. He was the king of Israel. But Jeremiah, write down by this verse, son of Joseph, write Jeremiah, I'm going to have to look it up, 22:29. Let me verify it. I want you to go with me. And yes, Jeremiah 22:29-30. 22:29-30. This is why God spoke, the Father spoke to the earth, Elohim. And he told the earth in verse 29, after Coniah, Jeconiah, and three kings in David's line sinned so much, God wouldn't even mention them in the book of Matthew. They were not even mentioned. You want to know where I'm at? Jeremiah 22, verse 29. All right, say it with me. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Now God spoke to Mother Earth and told Mother Earth, I'm going to change conception on behalf of my son. See, Jesus is not the son till Bethlehem. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But he's the Word. And the Father spoke to the earth and said, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Number one, he said, write ye this man childless. No king on the throne of David is going to have the Messiah by his own productive means. I've told the earth it's going to be the virgin birth. And he told the earth, he said, I've already said it in Genesis 3:15, into the earth, the blood of Jesus told the earth to work with every one of us to lift curses off of the earth. Every time you cast out a devil, it weakens satanic forces of curses. And the blood told the earth, work with all of the believers. And that's found in Romans 8, verse 19. All creation is in travail for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who was that brother up north in Missouri that they had, that was their group, manifestation? Yeah, Bill. Bill Britton. I've had conferences with Bill years and years ago. But that's the truth. The blood went into the earth and told the earth, whenever anybody speaks that has my blood in them, you to work with them. And they'll lift curses off of you. Amen. And I believe it. That the blood spoke. That's why the blood of sprinkling, when you plead the blood, you have authority over your dirt. Over the earth speaks better things. Amen. That's the authority. And don't tell me the trees don't hear our voice when we praise. And you know, all creation says, oh, lift the curses from us. And when I go out, or I've done this for Orwell's, I've taught, David Ingalls even wrote a song of, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. Tremendous from my teaching on this, that the anointing is on you. If you buy or sell or whatever decisions of your land, in fact, wherever you're living now, go out and get that dirt, anoint it with oil, command all curses back to the original creation of Genesis 1:1, and lift all curses off of your property, and it will work with you. All types of lawyers, legal harassments against you will come to naught. All types of banking and financial stress will be lifted. Your earth will work with you to manifest the Son of God. Let's praise Him with a clap offering. Hallelujah. Andarabas, andarabas. But that's why Jesus is the son of Joseph.
That's it.
And he had to be a comforter, because why? Verse 30 says, a man that shall not prosper in his days. In other words, the other lineage of David, he's going to be king, but he won't prosper. Because you guys have passed the line of demarcation, I will not allow any more of David's throne to prosper. You'll not prosper in these days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. I'm taking the throne from you. And just like Samuel took the throne from Saul, the father had to take the throne and the prosperity of it. The father just left the messianic promise of Jesus with the throne of David. For Jesus will restore all the contaminated covenants. And so now we have, and this is why that authority was taken. Now Joseph cannot have Jesus. He can't have the Messiah out of his own loins. But a virgin was conceived by the Holy Ghost. But now what could Joseph do? Joseph gave Jesus, by inheritance, the throne of David. See? That's where it comes in. Fulfilling Jeremiah 22, verse 29 and 30. Now it's fulfilled. Anybody sitting on the throne is not going to have the Messiah. He's not going to prosper all the lineage, but you can give him the crown. And Joseph gave him the crown. And Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every rabbi and anybody knows that knows the word, knows, or the lineages, that Jesus is the only qualified King of Israel. That's where the book stops there. That's beautiful. Hallelujah.
Because of the fact that when you're having Joseph's son, he was the son of God.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But this was given to him.
Yeah, through the flesh. He came into his own for the purpose of the covenant, the divinic covenant is what we call it, dear.
Yeah.
Divinic covenant. God has a covenant with every one of us.
Did you say divinic covenant?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Divinic.
Okay.
David-ic.
They always called him the son of David.
Yeah. Well, he's the son of David.
They always called him that, and Jesus said to him, though, he said, who do men say that I am the Christ?
That's right.
Oh, he's going to be the son of David. Well, he said, then why did
Matthew 12.
Mm-hmm. Sit on my right hand. He said, if he were here.
That's my next message, hon. Just wait. That's Revelation, though. When Jesus said that, whether I get a chance to do it, I probably will, but it's in Matthew, and they were always trying to get Jesus on questions and trip him, trip him up. And so he said from Psalms 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord. Now in the Hebrew, it's Yahweh said unto my Adonai, or Adonai. Adonai is Jesus. Adonai. The Lord said unto my Adonai that sit at my right hand by the cross. Then he's sitting at the right hand, and the first thing the Father does is bestow the Holy Ghost. And Peter preaches that when Jesus sat down by him, then he pours out, he sheds forth this which you now see and hear. So now. And when Jesus told, this is interesting, when he told them that, whose son is he? If David calls him Lord. And the Bible says they did not ask Jesus any more questions. That's right. It's beautiful. All right, let's look at it. John 1 and verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael. Now, I've already read that. The son of Joseph. I want to explain that to us. It was the crown authority that he has now.
And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Now I'm at verse 47. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, This is what Peter said, What I have give I to thee. And Nathanael knew who he was. Whence thou knowest thou me? Or whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, I want you to underline this, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And I want you to, now, in the correct Hebrew tradition, the young men studying the word would get under a fig tree. So Nathanael was studying. Now, what was he studying? We know exactly what he was studying. Just what we read tonight, Genesis 28, Jacob's ladder. We know exactly what he was studying. So therefore, Jesus, even though he's omnipresent, he's walking on the earth, he visits Nathanael the day before. Said, I saw you. I manifested myself to you. What a beautiful thing. We don't know details, but it's tremendous when you get in the Word, and Jesus will always manifest himself when you're in the Word. And so Nathanael answered, Boy, when Jesus said, I was there, I saw thee under the fig tree. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King. See, now he's throwing at the King of Israel. You're the one now that's the King. We know that. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. The Yeshua HaMashiach. Say it with me. He's my Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now the Lord's telling him. And he saith to him, underline this, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon Jacob's ladder, which is the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. They say the angels will ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. That's the ministry you're going to see, Nathanael. But the angels, I'm the ladder now. And now let's go and we'll close with Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you. Thank the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 it's not the last ladder. Those are the ladders. But it's the progress of glory that we're going to come into. The Lord's going to alter, I don't know how, He's going to alter our preaching. He's going to alter the praise. In other words, not alter, but we're going to reach a higher glory.
Yeah.
The anointing.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to preach or maybe just read a scripture. The glory is going to go and heal, set free, save, prosper, deliver.
Yeah.
Amen. People are going to flood where the anointing and the glory is not veiled from the Word. Yes.
You spoke earlier of the word crescendo.
Yeah.
If you apply the meaning of crescendo to the Scripture, I missed it. I may have gone to sleep on it. But I'm trying to apply crescendo to these great thrusts. And with me, as a musician, I think in crescendo in terms of music. So would you clarify that?
All right. I will for all the music lovers. When Jesus said, Brother, thank you, though. When Jesus said, How can two walk together except they agree? Then, or the Word says that, then Jesus applies it to, if two of you agree as touching anything, I'll do it.
Yes.
Now, the word agree is your musical term. Write it down now. Symphono. It's a Greek word, symphono, which means Jesus was a very musical individual. He said he knew about symphonies before they were ever invented. And he said, if you can harmonize, is in the Amplified Version, if you can make music together. So we have a symphony when we agree. Now, husband and wife, my wife, Mary Ann, I call her my piccolo. She's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Dainty. Sorry, Mary Ann. Yeah, she's dangerous to the devil, too. But dainty, you know, and perfectionist. She can shop all day long. I tell you what. But see, I'm a big tuba. Hallelujah. Yeah. We're instruments, and the Holy Ghost is the conductor. He gets our attention. The Word of God is the score. And it brings in the music and the harmony. And that's why people, there's a disharmony in homes, because they don't read the Word. The Word of God comes forth. So here is the crescendo of glory when all of the body of Christ is creating a symphony together. Then that's the crescendo of the glory of God Almighty. All right, let's hurry. Ephesians 4. Begin with verse 6. No, I don't know if I want to start there. Let's start with verse 8. It's all right, that fourth. They're beautiful teachings.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.